All right, welcome back. We have an exciting topic today, which is Jenna M. Caldwell shared a post recently that said, basically, tell me why you left your hairstylist. And we have 223 valuable posts of consumers sharing why they chose to leave their last hairstylist. So with that being said, Heather, what do you got?
Yeah, I'll give it to you right now. I just got a good one. this one's going to ruffle some feathers over here. I had to pay a cancellation fee of $200 for a haircut that took less than an hour. This was after the $100 deposit. I totally understand and support cancellation fees and getting paid for your time, but $300 was nuts.
So $300 for a haircut?
Cancellation fee.
Ooh. Yeah, that's wild.
That's steep.
Let me just make sure I read this right. Hold on. I had to pay a cancellation fee of $200 for a haircut that took less than an hour. Yeah, this was after the $100 deposit. So she gave a $100 deposit, didn't show up or canceled, and was charged $200 on top of the $100. I totally understand and support cancellation fees and getting paid for your time, but $300 was nuts.
That's abusive.
I'm trying to see the stylist's bank account.
I know.
It's fucking abusive.
$300? That's like, I don't blame this girl for going elsewhere.
That's wild. But I will say this. I think I've been a victim to the whole like deposit situation, the price transparency, where like you know how much something costs when you go, right? Because you've been there before.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go back, you expect to pay the same price unless, you know, a price change has gone down or there's more like services being done. Where I was charged like $200 more, even when I did like the deposit and like been totally blindsided by that. And that was probably the last time I ever went to somebody, like didn't go back because of that.
Well, this is something that we talk about often in the salon. Like you have to know that when you do that, when you charge full price or you charge whatever it is for the last minute cancellation, that is likely the signature on I'm never going to see this client again.
Yeah.
And I think you have to understand that. And listen, there's times where this is a repeat offender who does this to me every 3 weeks and I'm over it and I'm totally okay with that person not coming back.
Yeah.
There's that. And then there is also the this person has never done it to me before. They're saying their kid is sick at home. And I know that, you know, every situation's different, but I just think that you have to understand that when you do implement that firm of a cancellation fee, you're never seeing that person again. It is what it is.
I mean, then the only way of saving it is just having a conversation too. Mm-hmm. You know, we're big on that, making sure that you communicate like, hey, next time this happens, like this is what's going to go down. Mm-hmm. You know,
I was just like so turned off by my pediatrician's office recently. The one you go to.
Yeah.
I went in for an appointment and as soon as I like checked in, the receptionist is like, oh, there's a $100 cancellation fee or a no-show fee on your account. You need to pay that now before we'll see you. And I looked at her and I said, a no-show? Like, no, when did I not show? And she was like, you had an appointment back in like August. And I'm like, for what? Like, what did I even make that for? And so apparently she's telling me back in my charts, like, a year ago, I made like a 6 month appointment 6 months ahead of time and didn't show up. But I honestly don't even ever remember getting a notification, like a reminder, anything. So I don't know. I just was like, and I told her, I said, I'm like, that must have been an honest mistake. Like, I don't even have it in my phone. What would I have made that 6 months follow up for? Like, what was it for?
Yeah.
And she couldn't tell me, but she made me pay her $100 before they would take me back. And now I'm like hesitant to ever even go back.
Yeah, that's screwed up.
Marissa_G said, she gives me what she feels I need, not what I want or asked for. I've heard her telling other stylists that she does this to all her clients. I have hair that isn't me for so long, and I'm currently trying to find a new stylist. I have like several situations that I feel I can remember in the past 10 years of things like this happening. And I think essentially you have to be respectful of what your clients are requesting, not what you think is the best fit for them. Where are your heads with that?
I agree. And I feel like transparency is key too in this like situation. Like if the stylist felt like I needed to do something different, then she needed to tell them that. if she's not going to.
Well, there was another post in there that I saw that basically said, she tells me that my requested look is outdated, so she doesn't do it. And it's like, listen, like, it's not really up to you to decide how this person wants to look. I understand that if they're asking for feedback and they're saying, like, you know, I like this. What do you think? Do you think this would look good on me? Like, sure, it's your, you know, it's your job as the professional to give that feedback. But I also think that you need to be respectful of what their wishes are. And that's a great reason not to go back. Like, yeah. If I come in and ask for something and you either choose not to give it to me and verbalize that, or simply just don't give it to me and go in a different direction, I'm not coming back to you. Like, yeah. It is what it is.
And the stylist probably needs to do a better job of marketing, like, who she wants her target market to be, too. Exactly. You don't want to be doing that type of stuff.
Yep.
Well, I got to be honest. I'm scrolling through these right now looking, and it's just, I feel like every three comments, it's basically like the stylist is not doing what I want. Mm-hmm. One even said that she thinks the stylist is just bored of her.
I think Could there's a imagine? Difference between refusing to do what somebody wants and not, like, nailing what, you know what I mean?
True.
Like, getting what they want.
Definitely fine line.
One that I found was, she asked to reschedule my appointment for weather. Then when I didn't want another appointment because she... Then when I refused to book another appointment, she wanted to charge me $400 for her cancellation fee. I was super loyal, but when she hit me with that, it broke my heart.
Oh. Another $400 cancellation fee?
So she had an appointment scheduled. The stylist called her and told her that she had to move it. And the client was like, no, I'm not going to reschedule right now. So she was like, oh, well, then I need to charge you a cancellation fee.
Oh, my
God.
That's insane.
It's criminal.
Like, come on.
It's criminal. We're big on, like, trying not to reschedule clients whenever possible. But if you're not flexible with getting them back in, or, like, at least, like, trying to work with their schedule, like, that's where I think there's issues.
Oh, for sure.
Like, we want to be flexible, but also, like, we can't just, like, turn away clients because you don't have you don't want to come in on your time off or whatever.
Right.
I mean, we recently dealt with a situation with a stylist who reached out and just was like, hey, listen, like, I don't have a ton going on tonight. Is it okay if I move my client to someone else? And I was mm-hmm. like, no, because that's inconvenient for that person. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, you have to kind of know that, like, we're a business, we're a service business. And you choosing to change somebody's appointment is your problem.
This is like a new thing, though. Like,
this wild
mentality. It's like, oh, I have one client. Can I move them to someone else? Why?
Yeah. You're basically just giving that client away then.
Yeah.
And you don't deserve to be booked with new clients.
Yeah.
If you're giving your current clients away.
Yeah.
And I understand, like, I totally get it. And I can remember those days when I was building my book and it sucked. Like, you know, you would have a 10-hour shift, a haircut in the morning, a bang trim scheduled at 2:30, and then a haircut at 8:30. Like, that's really bad. Yeah. But also, like, I just knew, like, it is what it is. Like, I'm building. Like, this is not going to be easy. It's going to be a very difficult time. But my goal is to maintain every single client that I get.
Yeah.
And every single one of them has value to me and my business. And I think that that's something that people need to take seriously when you're building.
Yeah. And it's not going to last forever either.
Mm-mm. This one is interesting. It said, and I think this speaks to us because we are a company that double books. So this person said, Paranoia Lena said, I had only gone to her for 8 years and she double booked me while I was getting a balayage with a men's haircut. During the time she cut the man's hair. I was under the blow dryer thing with bleach sitting on my head and my hair was fried from it. So there's a couple points here that I think. Number one, I'd be curious to know if this person was just upset that there was a double booking happening. And in her head, she's like, I'm already pissed off. Like, why is she doing somebody in between me? Like, that's kind of the vibe I'm getting. Like, I've been coming to you for 8 years. You've never done this. Why are you doing this now?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that might have been the case. Now, listen, if there was actual, like, over-processing happening and she forgot about her or didn't check her and there was actually, like, damage from the bleach, that's a different conversation. But I think essentially clients get very used to things being done a specific way. And this goes into general as to why I think people leave in general is that they're very used to things happening. And the second it changes, now maybe that's, I no longer work nights and weekends. Or maybe that's I'm now double booking, or I'm working with an apprentice, or like there's all these different things that can happen and change the way that their experience is. And there's definitely individuals out there that I think see any change as a negative. And I don't think that's the case all the time. So,
I mean, majority of these responses are mostly like they didn't get what they wanted. They didn't get the experience. They're uneducated. Like, you don't really see, I feel like a lot of people have so much anxiety around like getting promotions and increasing their prices. There's not really much people on here saying like, oh, her prices got too high.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You know? Mm-hmm. Which says a lot. Like, people, like, I feel like we say this all the time, people are down to spend the money, but they have to feel like it's there. The services need to match, or the pricing needs to match the experience.
Yep, 100%.
This one I actually feel bad for. She said, I haven't left yet, but I'm considering. I've been going I've been going to the same stylist for at least 5 years. Every 4 to 5 weeks for root touch-ups, seasonal highlights and lowlights, cuts, trims, and products. She seems bored. I have hard to color gray, very fine thinning hair. Roots need touch-up within 3 weeks. Stylist has no ideas for cut or style to give me more volume. Her answer is always, hair changes as you age. I get that, but her apathy and seeming disinterest is pushing me out the door. I'm not a difficult client. Reschedule next appointment before I leave. Rarely cancel or reschedule. I'm flexible if she needs to reschedule or work another client in while working on me. I tip well and never question the amount she charges. I'm stumped.
I love her.
So she sounds like She's the perfect client. And this stylist is just pushing her right out the door.
Well, I think that when you have clients like that, that you see every 3 weeks, and you've been doing their hair for 8 years, it's very easy to get into a routine. And you know them on such a personal level that you almost take advantage of the fact that they're not going to leave me. You know, like, well, they're like my friend.
This is my next comment. Somebody commented back to her, and this is your point exactly. A lot of people are feeling this way. I think a lot of stylists take their regulars for granted. Mm-hmm. But being bored is a valid reason to find someone who appreciates your business.
Yeah. And that's a shame, because I think essentially if that stylist could just wake up a little bit, or maybe the approach that this mm-hmm. individual has with how she's portraying this to the stylist, like, hey, listen, like, we got to shift gears. I'm really, you know, feeling like I'm, you know, yeah. not loving this, and I really want a change, then maybe she'll be more receptive and open.
Well, it sounds like she did. She did say that. She said, like, I'm looking for some, like, a cut that gives me more volume because my hair is so fine. Yeah. And the girl just tells her, well, your hair changes with aging.
She's bored.
Yeah.
No passion.
She's got to go.
Yeah. For anybody listening that, you know, that can resonate with you, because I know it resonates with me. Like, I can remember being behind the chair, and there were definitely people that I was, like, just so used to seeing. I see them every 2 or 3 weeks, and we did the same thing for 5 years. I think that those moments, like, even just now, let this be the reminder that check in on them. You know, next time they're in, just ask, like, how are you feeling about everything? Is there anything you want to shift? Anything you want to change? And we can do it mm-hmm. because I feel like it's easy to kind of get lost in the motions and not really take it seriously when they ask for changes.
Did anyone see the one where she got ringworm on her hairline?
No, say that.
No, but I just saw somebody with a mole on the nape of her neck, and so, the stylist kept hitting it with her comb. That's terrible.
She got ringworm on her hairline. That would probably do it for me.
Mm-hmm. What would give you ringworm on your hairline, though?
Bacteria,
dirty like tools. Dirty towels, dirty
tools? Like a, yeah. like if you have a comb that maybe was on someone and then it's reused and not properly sanitized.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
I mean, it's not really regulated, so it's really up to you to make sure that you're keeping your stuff clean.
Oh, this is hilarious. She told me I have too much hair and doesn't want to do free services anymore. It's my mom.
I saw that.
That's hilarious.
I saw that. I'm Ooh. Seeing a lot of people like that their stylists just aren't keeping up with education.
Yeah. Here's one that's different. So unprofessional, talking about how they sleep with married men or the drama surrounding their dating life. Ooh. And I think this is a big one, because I feel like sometimes hairstylists can be a little self-centered. And I feel like we were always like taught to, like, it's not about you, it's about your client. Right. So like they don't care about what you're doing. They just want to come in here, relax, vent about their life, yeah. and we're here to listen, you know?
Yeah, talk less about you and more about them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's a big one, I think, for the younger generation, too.
And it's, I need to note with that, too, even if you're not talking, like, directly to the person that may be offended, like, you might be sitting there talking about how you slept with somebody's husband, and the person next to you just found out yesterday her husband's been cheating on her.
Yeah.
So it's like, maybe it's not directly like, oh, I wasn't even talking to them. Mm-hmm. I was talking to my stylist. It was between me and them. But really, you're in an open environment. Everyone's hearing what you're saying.
Yeah. There's another one that said she gossiped all the time. So that stuff matters, man.
I think the other thing is, and this is something that we just had a deep dive class into, but basically consistency. And I think that, you know, all it takes is for someone to have a conversation with their friend or their sister about an experience that they just had.
And it's sure.
Like me with the spa, right? I called you about the spa experience we just had. And I was like, oh my God, it like knocked it out of the park. It blew this, you know, out of the water. This is what I did. I told you every single detail. And in that moment, you're like, I want to go there.
I'm like, why isn't there anything like that around here? Exactly. Like, I need to go to that island to get this experience. Book my flights now.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's like something like that makes you feel like the current experience that you're used to is subpar.
So mediocre. Yeah. I just got done telling somebody that. And I said, like, I don't know, maybe this is unpopular opinion, but I feel like we're always behind the times here, like in this country. I feel like other countries, they're just always ahead of us in like in the fashion world and even with music and stuff like that. And I feel like even with the spas, like I know a lot of the American spas around here, like people go overseas to like research and learn about them and then they bring them back to the States. But like, why are we so behind? Like, I want what you just had.
Yeah.
Like, I want those cold and hot lap pools and...
The hydrotherapy was a whole different
ballgame. The only way I'm getting in the cold one is if I'm getting out of the hot one and I'm sweating.
You're not allowed.
Well, then I'm not going.
No, I'm just kidding. What are some experiences that you guys have personally had that was like, oh, hell no, I'm never going back there again?
I had my eyebrow burned really bad.
Oh.
And I was at a nice spa. Like, it wasn't like some little corner store where you run in and get like a cheap waxing. It was a legit waxing service. And I was brought back and I loved the girl. She was amazing. She was just so nice. Me and her like had a lot of common friends. We were talking and she went to turn and she dropped the wax. It came right off the tip of the applicator, dropped right down on my eyelid. And I had like a third degree burn from it. Like, it wasn't even her pulling it off. It scorched my, like, the wax was just way too hot. And I'll never forget, I had my son's basketball game that night, and I went, and, like, one of the dads, I was so black and blue and all, and, like, one of the dads was like, did somebody hit you? And I was like, no. He's like, man, your eye's messed up. Like, it was bad. And I never called the salon and spa, and I should have.
How old was the provider, like, the service provider?
She was probably my age, because we had common friends.
Okay.
Uh-huh. But yeah, and I had that burn on my eye and it lasted a while and it hurt. And it was super noticeable. And that was, I was like, I can't go back. Yeah. Like there was no, and like, she knew she did it. Like she was apologetic, but there was no like, oh my God, I'm going to comp your service. Like, and not that I wanted that. But it was just like, oh God, I'm so sorry. Are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like no managers reached out to me, nothing. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like if that was our salon, it would have been like an incident report and a manager would have been on the phone calling you the next day or that night.
Yep. Offhand, I can think of like two things that would sway me very quickly. Number one, if you smell like straight up, like if you smell like cigarettes.
See, you're yelling at me.
No. I'm not saying, well, yeah, I mean, gross. Like, I'm sorry, but like, yeah, like hygiene is important when you're this
dead
close to somebody.
And yes.
Not even, I was more so thinking about like cigarettes or alcohol.
Uh-huh.
Like if I'm going to sit there in an appointment, like, and this just happened to us where we had a meeting and somebody at the table was reeking like alcohol. And
no,
I'm
wasn't
like,
me.
It was a breakfast.
Like,
it wasn't a dinner.
This is like a turnoff for me. This is just not what I'm like.
This was
not
night,
what I'm interested
night
in doing.
A before situation. Yeah. It wasn't like
I got nervous for a second. I'm like, wait, was it me at one of these meetings? But I'm not an alcohol person.
But I'm sorry, but the smelling of alcohol, the smelling of like tobacco, cigarettes, Yeah, you want to call it body odor? I don't care. But like, if I have to sit there and and the only thing I'm focused on is how is
that smell.
You smell.
Yeah.
I can't enjoy my experience.
That's happened to me in a massage. Back. Like, I've had somebody with really bad breath over top of my face. Mm-hmm. And I'm like trying not to, I'm holding my breath literally until they like moved away so I could be like, yeah. Like, mm-hmm. But like, it's so bad. And it just ruined your whole experience. So.
I'm laughing because my dad had an ashiatsu massage once.
Oh God, what the hell? So gross!
Is that they use your dirty feet. You,
oh, I hate
apparently
it.
Apparently, the provider was farting the whole time.
Yeah,
like this is the crazy shit that happens, right? But yeah, I mean, like that's one thing that would get me. And then the other thing that's really big, and it's interesting because neither of these have anything to do with the physical experience. Like, I'm not leaving because my hair wasn't cut right or the color wasn't good. That's not what my concern would be. My concern is how the people made me feel. So if that's front desk, if that's apprentice, if for one second you make me feel like you're an asshole or like you're better than me or well, you don't want to be here, this isn't what you want to do, instantly you've taken away all the joy I'm going to have at this place.
You missed the mark on this assignment. She asked you what have you specific personally endured, and like you're just saying like, well, this is what I wouldn't, but no, I want to know a story. Something had to have happened to you. I mean, obviously daddy with the farting atsiatsu masseuse, but like, what happened to you?
Me?
Like I got my eye burned. I could probably name a bunch of things.
I'll say one while you think of one, but I remember just like the, actually it was two things. So unprofessionalism when I was sitting waiting for my provider to come out, the receptionist and one of the providers were talking shit on the lady that left because she didn't tip for like a medical procedure, not a procedure, but like, injection. Yeah, some type of injection.
Huh.
And the provider was like, oh, she didn't tip me. What the hell's up with that? And like the receptionist was like, I know, right? And like, I was sitting right there. I heard everything they said. And then on top of that, like the price transparency piece, like if I'm going somewhere and I'm getting the same thing, I expect to pay the same amount. I don't care about price, but if I get like caught off guard or felt like I'm getting taken advantage of, like I'm out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mine, you had a similar experience with a doctor that was talking poorly to their employees.
Well, and also,
and you never went back.
You're right about that. That's right. That was my biggest turnoff.
I'll never forget. She called me right after and was like, nope, done. Won't ever go back. Won't entertain him.
Tell us about this experience.
All right. So this was a plastic surgeon. I mean, anyway, it was a doctor's visit that I was going to. And the experience, it was awful because the front desk was super friendly, professional, the facility was top notch, everything was amazing. I've heard this person came very highly recommended. I was really excited. And then I simply observed the interaction of him with his employees. And that was not okay with me.
Well, being a business owner definitely hits you a different way than maybe it would strike a nerve on someone else that isn't hypersensitive to this kind of behavior. Mm-hmm. But I just remember you leaving there and you were like, I'm done. I'm never going back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And that's honestly true for me in other scenarios too. Like I know restaurants that I've gone to and I watched the owner interact with their employees. And anytime that you can act that way towards somebody who's working for you, that's a massive turnoff to me. And I will choose to spend my money elsewhere.
I mean, some of the stuff that people, like services that people provide are like vulnerable stuff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you think like they'd have like, you have to have emotional intelligence with people when you're working with them. Like, I always like think about that movie with Adam Sandler Jennifer Aniston, when she like sits down in the hairstylist chair and the guy's like, it's dead, it's dry, it's damaged, it's
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Like, you gotta be careful with, like, I know you're trying to help, but sometimes
like bedside manner.
Yeah, exactly. And like I think about that with the plastic surgeon. Like I felt like you left there like kind of feeling like shit about yourself because he was like, oh, this is all the things that you absolutely need.
Yeah, I forgot about
you know
that. Yeah. Well, it was interesting because the next week I went to a different doctor and their approach was drastically different. And it was the way that I felt leaving there was completely different than the original one. I felt like the other one was like, oh, I'm going to take her for everything I can get. Like,
yeah. Well, this back is, to what you were saying, like how like the sisters, like when you were telling me about the spa, now I want to go. So ironically, I had an appointment with this original doctor too first. And I didn't like, I didn't experience what mine did. Like, he was okay. There was nothing, he didn't blow me away, but I was like, all right, he's okay enough that I would go back and have my procedure done with him. Then Monica calls me and tells me about her thing. I was like, no way, no way. So he not only lost Monica, he lost me. Mm-hmm. And then she went to the new provider and recommended him to me. So I went to him and I had like a blown away experience with him. Like, he just was completely different than what I experienced with the other one. Not saying my experience there was bad. Not but like Monica's, comparison. But I ended up booking my procedure with the other doctor. So he lost two clients out of poor behavior for one that witnessed it.
Yep. And also, like, not for nothing, but like the impact that we have in this industry, like one of us has a good experience. It's honestly, we have a good experience somewhere, we'll send you a million people.
We got a friggin' army coming. I know.
We have a bad experience somewhere, you're getting no one. Like
crickets.
It's the truth.
Well, from that post, mostly that I saw was education, people not being educated, being bored, not giving them what they want, not being transparent, cancellation fees. But I also threw quickly into ChatGPT, why do clients leave their hairstylist? Ooh. And it came up, the number one reason is inconsistent results. Mm-hmm. Number two was poor communication. Three was pricing changes. Four, long wait times or scheduling issues. Five, lack of personal connection. Six, salon atmosphere, which I think is huge. And I'm going to elaborate on that a little bit because it says a salon's vibe matters. If it's too noisy, unprofessional, or uncomfortable, clients will look elsewhere. Number seven, they moved or found somewhere closer. Number eight, they just want change. Number nine, unclean or unprofessional practices. And number 10, a bad experience.
Ringworm.
Yeah. Loyalty in the salon industry is built on trust, consistency, and great customer service. Keeping clients happy means listening to them, providing excellent service, and making them feel valued every single visit.
Here's something we didn't talk about that I don't know necessarily if it would make me not want to come back, but it would definitely like grind my gears, is like being personable. So like if I told you something at our last appointment that was like kind of big, like, I don't know, I'm getting married, or and like I come in the next time and it's like, so you like dating anybody, like those type of things.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's huge. You know, that's how you build rapport.
Yeah, that's a big deal. And I feel like there's, it's so easy now to kind of, I know that we service a lot of people, like I would say on average about 100 people a month.
Yeah.
Per stylist. And I feel like that's really hard to kind of keep track of everything, but we have access to software and like you can just throw in the notes like, you know, she's just got engaged or is planning her wedding or is going on a trip or her son is sick. Like things like that, that are really going to build that deep emotional connection, make a huge difference. And I agree. When you feel like you tell someone something that's like a big deal in your life and then they just completely disregard it the next time.
Even actually, like using your name, like little things like that.
But I actually talked about it in one of our podcasts before about my thyroid doctor. Remember after I had my surgery?
Oh yeah.
I had my full thyroid removed from surgery. This endocrinologist comes in to check on me while I was recovering in the hospital. I go to her office 2 days later and she turns around to me and says, remind me again, do you have your thyroid? And I'm like, don't you have that in
your
notes?
I'm like, sorry.
Don't you see the scar across my neck where they just took it out? Like, but she said, remind me again, do you still have your thyroid? Like after she saw me 2 days prior, it was
like
rough.
What is wrong with people?
I don't know. I mean, people are too busy, too dumb to like mark, to look at someone's charts before you walk into a room. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. But after that, I was like, I'm done. I'm not going back to her ever again.
Yeah. Or even like introducing yourself as someone like new to you when you've already been to them before. Yeah. Like,
oh, it's so nice to meet you. Oh no, I was here before. You've like done my hair.
Third time here.
Yeah. Something big that I think, not good. There's something really big that is unspoken, I think. I think a lot of people are kind of self-conscious to talk about it, but I think that when people are suffering from hair loss or they're self-conscious about their hair in any way and that situation isn't handled in a delicate manner by the team, they're never coming back.
Yeah.
Like, that's one that's massive. I can think of a client of yours that was so sensitive to the hairbrush.
Mm-hmm.
And you were so delicate with her that she was so loyal over the years because of it.
Yeah.
And even, you know, I have situations with a client where I, you know, I know how sensitive that topic is. And I was very, very, very delicate with them in every way possible. And I feel like that connection is like almost rare. Like, yeah. It's like people, just because it's what we do all day, they don't see it as like, as a big deal.
Right.
And it kind of is to people. So
it's because you got
to
personalize every single experience. Like, not every person that sits in your chair is not like the one before or the one after.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's different. Everyone has different needs and likes and preferences. And even me, like, I'm nervous. Like, when I get my head scrubbed at a bowl, I don't ever want to feel that scrubbing again, because I don't ever want to have to deal with like anything, you know?
Yeah.
I think people just need to understand that there's so many different avenues and elements to what we do. And because we're hands-on with human beings, like, we're one of the few industries and careers that you are so close to someone that you're touching them, that it's very different than most professions. And I think that that has to be taken very seriously.
Yeah.
On all aspects. And if you're working in a commission salon, or if you own a commission salon, that every single person there is a part of this experience, and they need to be handling things accordingly. Otherwise, there's going to be lots of reasons for people to leave you.
Yeah. So stylists need to stay educated.
Mm-hmm.
Stop giving unfair cancellation fees. Smell good. Keep your salon looking good. What else? Don't yell at your employees in front of your clients.
Nope.
Make sure you remember everything about your clients' mm-hmm. personal lives, or write it down so you can double check. What else, Leash?
Adapt to their preferences and needs.
Yes. Yeah.
It's easy. It's quite simple, guys.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens. You know, if you don't want them to leave, you got to provide all of that.
Yeah. Yep. And if you have anxiety about this, you're probably doing it right. So
exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's the interesting thing here.
Yeah,
well, this was a fun one. I feel like that was kind of a lot, very valuable. Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode. Please leave us a like, a subscribe, and comment, and we will catch you on the next episode.